Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has upped the air quality alert for the North Pole area to stage 2. The change announced by the DEC yesterday bans use of solid fuel-fired heating devices, including wood, coal, and pellet stoves, in the North Pole portion of the federally designated fine particulate pollution non-attainment area. Residents who have a no other adequate source of heat waiver are exempt from the ban, which also does not apply during a power outage. Open outdoor burning, aside from recreational fires, is also banned during a stage 2 alert, which is called when air quality is expected to be in the unhealthy for sensitive groups or worse range. DEC says poor dispersion is expected to result in periods of air in the unhealthy range in North Pole during the stage 2 air quality alert, which runs through tomorrow at 2 p.m. The proposed budget for the next fiscal year is among top agenda items before the University of Alaska Board of Regents for a meeting in Fairbanks Thursday and Friday. UA spokeswoman Monique Music says the spending plan seeks a nearly 10% boost in state support.
The FY20 operating budget includes a $31.5 million increase over the current fiscal year, and that's covering increased costs and strategic investments.
Music says those include boosting essential areas like campus safety, which have been impacted by recent years' budget reductions.
We've cut more than 1,000 employees over the last few years. Some of those cuts are starting to impact the level of service that we're able to provide, especially in these key areas where we're looking to improve. So part of that request includes adding in these new staff positions that we need to provide better service.
Music lists Title IX positions included in the budget proposal.
Increasing the number of investigators and also on the human resources staff to respond to any internal misconduct.
Regents will also consider a new policy for handling delayed reports of misconduct. Hear an update on UA compliance with federal Title IX requirements, as well as initial findings of a first-ever UA system salary and benefits review.
We've brought in external consultants to compare it to market studies and to look for any pay equities.
Music notes that UA salaries have largely been frozen in recent years, and the proposed budget includes money for pay increases. The spending plan also includes funding for strategic initiatives like research, workforce development, and increasing enrollment. The budget approved by Regents gets forwarded to the governor for changes and is then submitted to the legislature in January when their new session begins. It's general election day and polls are open. Alaskans are choosing a U.S. representative and a governor, as well as deciding on a ballot proposition that would increase protection of wild salmon habitat. There are also numerous state house and senate seats up for election today and a slate of judges on the ballot. Polls close at 8 tonight. Federal officials will be monitoring voting compliance in select jurisdictions across the nation today, including some in areas of rural Alaska with large native populations. KYUK reports that a few dozen of the more than 10,000 voting jurisdictions in the U.S. have been selected for federal monitoring today, including four areas in Alaska: the Bethel, Kusilvuk, Dillingham, and Yukon-Koyukuk census areas. Monitors deployed by the U.S. Justice Department's Civil Rights Division will gather information on compliance with federal voting rights laws, including ones that require equal voting access regardless of race, color, disability, and language. Suspense about the results of today's election could linger in some races. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that it's unlikely we'll know the results from all of the races in Alaska tonight. The last counts in the August primary did not arrive until after 2 a.m. the next morning, and absentee ballots postmarked before or on election day can take days to arrive. The state also waits to count question ballots, like ones cast at the wrong precinct, and ballots cast on election day by people who go to regional elections headquarters rather than the polling place where they live. In the past, thousands of ballots have been counted after election night. The state will make an initial tally of absentee and other uncounted ballots a week after election day. A final count will be done by November 21st. Elections officials hope to certify the results by November 23rd. Speed, icy conditions, and failure to wear a seatbelt were factors in a vehicle accident that killed a Fairbanks man. Alaska State Troopers report that 33-year-old Bryce Benson was driving a pickup truck on Nelson Road before 11 o'clock Sunday night when he went off the road into trees and was ejected from the vehicle. Troopers say Benson was found under the truck by responding EMS, who administered CPR and transported him to the hospital, where he died of injuries sustained in the accident. They say next of kin have been notified and that the state medical examiner has requested Benson's body be sent to Anchorage for autopsy. The plan for the first ever oil development in federal Arctic waters is being adjusted. As the Alaska Energy Desk's Ravenna Koenig reports, Texas-based Hillcorp is altering the Liberty Project to accommodate climate change.
To get at the oil, Hillcorp is planning to build a gravel island about 5 miles from shore in the shallow waters of the Beaufort Sea and drill from there. In order to build that gravel island, the company plans to use landfast sea ice, the ice that attaches to the coast each winter. They would drive on top of it and dump the gravel through holes in the ice. Shallow nearshore operations have used sea ice in that way before.
When it's in place and when it's stable, it makes actually a fairly convenient platform from which to operate. You can build ice roads on it. You can operate drilling equipment from it. And it's, I think, in many ways easier than trying to work off of a ship or a barge or something like that.
That's Andy Mahoney, a sea ice researcher at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He provides information to oil companies and federal regulators on what they can expect of ice thickness, extent, and seasonal duration. Mahoney says that the primary concern he hears from oil companies who want to work on landfast ice is that the window they have to work is shrinking as the Arctic warms.
It's forming later and it's breaking up earlier.
And that means that companies may have to stretch out work from one winter to two. That's apparently happening to Hillcorp, according to regulators familiar with the company's construction plans. According to plans Hillcorp shared with a federal agency in 2015, the company originally thought it could build the gravel island in 1 year, but in an email, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM, confirmed that due to, quote, historically abnormal ice conditions in the Arctic, unquote, Hillcorp amended its plans. Now, the company is telling the agency it could take 2 years to build the gravel island. Alaska's Energy Desk reached out to Hillcorp for comment, but they declined. There are also other ways that a warming Arctic may affect companies who pursue offshore drilling projects.
With the projections of declining sea ice, you would expect the waves to get bigger and bigger. And in fact, that's what is being seen in the Beaufort Sea.
That's Jeremy Casper, an oceanographer at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Casper is currently leading a study for BOEM, trying to better understand wave and sediment dynamics in the area around Hillcorp's Liberty project. One of the things they're going to do is model how wave height, storm surge, and coastal erosion may change along the whole Beaufort coast and some of the Chukchi coast, decades into the future as the climate warms. Casper says that those changes could mean that companies have to plan for increasing erosion around their pipelines or alter how they work in higher wave conditions. For example, in shallow areas of the Beaufort Sea.
If you increase the waves, you're talking about bigger boats. Bigger boats, you have to start thinking about dredging because it's pretty shallow up there.
Earlier this year, the Trump administration proposed opening the majority of Alaska's federal waters to drilling, including Arctic waters. A final plan has yet to be issued, and lease sales have yet to be held. But as warming temperatures change the Arctic landscape, it's hard to imagine that any future drilling operation in Arctic waters could avoid calculating in the effects of climate change. For Alaska's Energy Desk, with help from Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And I'm Dan Bross.